listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Is back in session. This is the draft seminar back for the 2022 season. As always, I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF educator, joined by my co-host, John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, kicking off our three-part Senior Bowl preview series that leads into our annual rookie profile series. John, we are back at it. We have already dug deep into the film. We've got the numbers ready to go. The college football season is coming to a close, and we are ready for draft season. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I love this group of Senior Bowl quarterbacks and tight ends. I've got to give credit to Jim Nagy and his staff. I was looking at recent quarterback classes. There is nothing been like this in the 8 years that I've been here and that I can remember. The six quarterbacks invited are unbelievable, Matt. They're the top of my board. And the tight ends, there are some tight ends that are going to make an impact here. I'm really excited. I've been for 2 weeks studying these players. I'm excited to kick it off, Matt.
All right, so if you're not familiar with how we do this, this is how it goes. We start here by giving a brief overview of all of the quarterbacks and all of the tight ends invited to the Senior Bowl. We'll give you a little bit of an introduction to these players. The next week, we'll do running backs and then wide receivers, and then we will actually dig in deep detail into each of the major fantasy football relevant players. So the Senior Bowl preview shows are kind of an overview of some of the top seniors eligible, and they really are some of the top of the class. And then we do full rookie profiles as we go. So make sure you're liked here. If you're watching in the video version of this, make sure you're liked and subscribed. If you're listening, these episodes will all be simulcast on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, as well as the Rookie Big Board Podcast. So let's go ahead, John, and jump right into it with our first quarterback here. And we're starting off hot. It's a player who needs a good week in Mobile, in my opinion, and that is Cincinnati's Desmond Ridder. Some people love him as a projected first-round selection. Some people wouldn't touch him until day two. John, give us a little bit of an introduction to Ridder and a little bit of an idea of where you may expect him to go depending on his performance in Mobile.
Matt, I've looked at him a lot, plugged him into my model. I have a second round grade on Desmond Ridder. I like him. I do think he's in that bucket with Derek Carr and Andy Dalton. He's a little bit going to be dependent on the coaching staff and the offensive scheme around him. Now, I do believe there could be one team that falls in love with his athletic ability and his leadership skills. The intangibles are off the charts. He's the first quarterback to ever lead a group of five program to the college playoffs. But what I like, I put him into my model, Matt. I have six categories that I look for. Desmond Ridder hits three of the six categories, but I do have some concerns. Overall, his passing efficiency and his yards per attempt do not hit the threshold that I look for. I like him second round grade, and I agree with you. Big week at Mobile could make a total difference in this young man's future.
Yeah, right now he's sitting at his QB6 for me, 24 overall in a Superflex rookie big board. The upside is the arm and the athletic mobility. The downside is the mental processing, the accuracy, and the mechanics. So, John, if you could put all that together, it only takes one team, right, to fall in love with you to make you a first-round pick. That draft capital would shoot up his fantasy football projection. How about another player where the jury is very much out on, and that is Liberty's Malik Willis. Remember, Malik Willis, although he is at a smaller school, he was a four-star recruit coming out of college. He was originally with Auburn, lost out the job to Bo Nix, and ended up transferring out. Malik Willis, another very athletic quarterback, and he does have a strong arm as well. What's your read here on Malik Willis and where he falls in with this Senior Bowl group?
Now, I'm a hard grader, Matt, and I use my model, and it tells me a lot. I have a second-round grade. I know there are a lot of people who like Malik Willis more than I do. And, you know, I've been talking about Malik Willis for over a year and a half now because in college fantasy football, he's been tremendous. And the fact that he did not beat out Bo Nix is still something I don't understand. But that's a different story, a different day. But what do I like about Malik Willis? He's off the charts with the athletic ability. He may have the best arm in this. If you're just throwing the ball 70 yards down the field, Malik Willis might have that. And look at those career rushing yards. 2,131, 5.8 yards per carry, and 29 touchdowns. I don't think he's as good as Jalen Hurts. When I look back at my model and how I rated Hurts, I had a first-round grade on Hurts. I was higher on him than most. Jalen Hurts was a better prospect in my book than Malik Willis. What concerns me, again, he doesn't hit my passing efficiency threshold. That is concerning, and he's only played 23 games. You know, Matt, I'm a kind of big stickler for that 30-game threshold. Malik Willis may have to have that, you know, Trey Lance season. Let him learn a little bit. I believe a team's going to fall in love with the upside. They're going to see the ceiling. They're going to make an analysis. You know, this young man is Lamar Jackson, and he's Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's as good as those two prospects, but I have a second-round grade. Don't be surprised if he goes off in the first round.
And I think similar to an NFL team, fantasy football players are going to fall in love with him as a first-round selection in Superflex rookie drafts. I've done a lot of mocks already. He has consistently gone in the first round. So absolutely a quarterback. You're going to want to see how his draft stock is affected by a week there at the Senior Bowl. And how about a college football just absolute superstar? And that is Western Kentucky's Bailey Zappe. John, Bailey Zappe, a zero-star recruit, transfers from Houston Baptist out of the FCS, comes to Western Kentucky as a senior with his offensive coordinator and breaks Joe Burrow's NCAA records in a high-flying Western Kentucky offense. Bailey Zappe, he's kind of the other guy in this group, because I think for most folks, he is in a lower tier, but certainly somebody for fantasy football that we absolutely still have to keep on our radar.
Matt, without question, he just had a season for the ages, 62 touchdown passes. He won so many college fantasy football leagues. Hey, I thought he was worth a, you know, second quarterback in a CFF league last summer. He turned out to be the college fantasy football MVP. I mean, look at that, over 5,900 yards passing. I had a chance to study him. My biggest concern, Matt, is one, games played. He was at Houston Baptist. So it's kind of, I have 14 games. That is just at the FBS level. Obviously, the games played at Houston Baptist help him a little bit, but I'm going to stay focused on this FBS level. He also played in the Conference USA. I'm also a little concerned he's scheme dependent. He had the same offensive coordinator at Western Kentucky as he did at Houston Baptist. So he walks onto that campus, you know, in the summer of 2021, and they're running the same scheme, Matt. So he was well-versed, and they brought over his favorite receiver, who ended up tearing it up this year. So I am a little bit worried about that. But I'll tell you this. He has the size, 6'1", 220 pounds. I like his command of the pocket. He can throw the football. Intermediate routes in the middle of the field, he's very good. He has a nice arm deep down the field, not elite. I think everything's going to be on draft capital. Can he sneak into the day two of the conversation? If he got somehow to the second round, then you're talking fantasy gold. A coaching staff really likes him. I have a third round grade on him. The production's there. I can't wait to see him at the Senior Bowl. Because again, just like you said with Desmond Ridder, he could skyrocket with a great week.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at Bailey Zappi, you have somebody with a huge arm, can throw an absolute rope, great velocity at all three levels of the field. My concerns with Zappi come down with his mechanics. I think his footwork needs to be tightened up. He leaves his body open a lot, and he loses a lot of accuracy, especially when throwing outside of the numbers. I currently have him projected as an early day two selection, but I think for me, for fantasy football, at least at this point in time, Bailey Zappi is the cutoff, right? Any quarterback we're talking about on today's show, plus Matt Corral, who is not Senior Bowl eligible, those are the guys you're going to want to think about in this year's draft. Zappi is the floor. I wouldn't look much past him. But, John, another guy we're definitely going to want to look at is Nevada's Carson Strong. And this is somebody that we've been talking about for a little while here, flown a little under the radar, but Mountain West Offensive Player of the Year in 2020 and 2021, despite a limiting knee injury here in 2021. There is a lot to like about Carson Strong, and it's not just that cannon of an arm.
Matt, I'm old. He reminds me so much of Drew Bledsoe. He really does. He's born two decades a little late. If it was 1997, I think he might be the first two picks in the NFL draft. I mean, he is tall at 6'4". You just mentioned the arm. I don't know if it's him or Malik Willis. I will say this. His arm is stronger deep and in the intermediate part of the field, in my opinion. And he has one throw that I've seen a few times, which to me is an NFL-level arm. Can you throw the ball 15 yards down the field outside the hash mark? Oh, Carson Strong's arm. He can make that throw, and very few players in the NFL. Like we just mentioned, Bailey Zappi. I have not seen Bailey Zappi throw that ball 15, 20 yards down outside the hash mark. You watch enough Carson Strong, you're going to see that throw. He can attack any quadrant of the opposing defense. But, Matt, the medicals on the knee, I've seen all types of reports. For a long time, the reports are it's a degenerative knee. They're concerned. Maybe it's Jay Ajayi level. Now I've seen some reports that, you know, don't worry about the knee. He'll be able to make it. Everything's going to come down to the Combine or Pro Day when he has his medicals, because I think he's going to put on a performance at the Senior Bowl. Matt, people have not seen Carson Strong. When he gets to the Senior Bowl and he just starts throwing those bombs, people are going to fall in love with the arm strength. The only other concern, he's not athletic. Matt, my favorite stat in this draft class, favorite one, in 31 career games, Carson Strong has negative 305 yards rushing. So from a fantasy standpoint, I think his ceiling is Matt Ryan, because you need 36 touchdowns for him to be elite.
And for those not familiar with college football stat keeping, sacks do count as negative yards in the college game. So he's not just running backwards, but you're right, a key limitation for fantasy purposes. Now, the next two guys that we're going to wrap up with here, John, are the guys who I think for the most part are the ones being talked about as the top of the class. And this one is currently, as of right now, my quarterback one for NFL and fantasy football purposes, and that is Pitt's Kenny Pickett. I got to tell you, John, when I'm watching Kenny Pickett tape, there may not be anything that he does at an overly elite level, but there is nothing he does poorly. He is a very developed quarterback, great arm talent, and I mean that as more than just strength. He understands how to adjust velocity. He has fantastic accuracy, solid mobility, throws well on the run. I am in on Kenny Pickett out of Pitt, and he's somebody who you really have to watch a lot of film on to really appreciate, but I'm in on him.
I don't have him at the top of my board, but I have a first-round grade. He's going off the board in the first round. There's no question in my mind. He just, when I started studying him over the last 2 weeks, he did get that first-round grade. Matt, we had Kyler Murray in 2019. We had Joe Burrow in 2020. We now have Kenny Pickett in 2022. No one had him at the top of the class. I don't, but you do, and lots of people have him as the number one prospect. And he was unbelievable this season. If you watch Kenny Pickett, and he was available in the free agent market of college fantasy football leagues, and I was lucky enough to get him in two leagues on the waiver wire. There's nothing I can say about his season. 47 total touchdowns. I think it's broken down 42 throwing and 5 rushing. 4,319 yards passing. He beats all of Dan Marino's records. I mean, the career that he put together at Pittsburgh is phenomenal. However, my concern, I love the 48 games played. I think he's a day one. He can step into a huddle and he can should be able to take control of the offense and the playbook. But if you look at some of the career numbers, Matt, he falls short of some of my benchmarks. There's no question the skill there, but he is an older prospect. I believe he's going to be 23 when the season kicks off next year. So, and there's nothing wrong with that because he obviously took a rise. You look at his sophomore and junior year or 2 and 3 years ago compared to this year, and you see such a better player. NFL talent's there. What I like about him most, Matt, he's athletic. He avoids the pass rush, but he keeps his eyes downfield when he's running. So many times you see him, you know, scoot out to the left, scoot up to the right, and then he throws a dart to the open man. Kenny Pickett's got a first-round grade. Look forward to seeing him.
All right, John, and one more quarterback coming up here, and that is going to be Sam Howell out of UNC. Sam Howell, a late addition here to the Senior Bowl, just invited this past weekend. But Howell is somebody, for fantasy purposes, we've been looking at closely for a while. Give me your breakdown here on Sam Howell out of North Carolina.
Matt, I am madly in love with Sam Howell. I have a man crush. First, I know the narrative is he had a bad year, and I get it. If you look at the raw statistics, it wasn't as good as his first 2 years on campus. But, Matt, you know what I liked about him this year? He fought through adversity. He lost all his playmakers, De'Ami Brown, Michael Carter, Daz Newsome, Javonta Williams. And the offensive line took a huge, major step backwards. But you know what I saw out of Sam Howell? A fighter. And Matt, you know I've said this. I like quarterbacks who have to go a little bit through adversity. I'm totally fair with that. I like that. Sam Howell went through a lot of adversity, and he came through. And what I like is he changed his game. Sam Howell this year showed us a lot of action with his legs. And when I put him into my model, and this is over his career, 37 games played, Matt, he hits 5 of my 6 benchmarks. Sam Howell, the only one he does not hit is completion percentage, rushing equity, touchdown to interception ratio. This is amazing stat. 92-23. He has the best touchdown interception ratio in this class over 3 years. What I like even more, 9.2 yards per attempt. He throws the ball deeper with more accuracy than any other quarterback in this class. I like the fact that Sam Howell had to compete. He had to change his game. And I think he had like 700 or 800 yards rushing this year. It's amazing what he was able to do with his legs because the offense literally fell apart around him and he had to take it over. I'm all in on Sam Howell, Matt. If he drops to a decent team like Denver or Pittsburgh, Sam Howell, because he'll have playmakers around him. That's a very interesting player. If he's available in the back half of the draft, I'm all in on Sam Howell.
All right, John, and we have a surprisingly athletic group of tight ends to discuss here. We're going to start with Isaiah Likely out of Coastal Carolina. Another prospect you might be surprised was a 4-star recruit coming out of high school, goes to Coastal Carolina, and is a really great addition to that Sean DeClear's offense, an athletic pass-catching tight end who I think could really surprise some folks down at the Senior Bowl.
Matt, you know I've watched a lot of Coastal Carolina. Isaiah Likely had a terrific season. He does remind me of Evan Engram as a prospect. Forget about what Evan, I know you're a Giants fan. Forget about what's happened to him in New York. Evan Engram came into the league, first-round pick, incredible athlete. More of a pass catcher than he is an inline blocker. I think the same way about Isaiah Likely. 6'4", 240 pounds. Incredibly athletic. And look at that, Matt. 76% catch rate. And then he had a 26% aerial dominator. Isaiah Likely was the number one target in this Coastal Carolina offense. 133 career receptions. He averaged 15.4 yards per reception and 27 touchdowns. Everything on the model likes him, except it was in the Sun Belt at a group of five. So his combine could skyrocket him or could hurt him. How fast is he in the 20-yard shuttle, three-cone drill? But I like Isaiah Likely a lot. A great value on the right team.
All right, John, and moving on to another group of five standout tight end, and that is Colorado State's Trey McBride. Trey McBride just about destroyed college football this season in terms of just production from the tight end position, the Mackey Award winner in 2021. And I can tell you, Trey McBride is already getting top 50 NFL draft hype. I think he could end up being one of the top two, if not the first tight end drafted by an NFL offense. And he can contribute, John, with his hand in the ground, but also through the passing game.
Matt, he's my number one tight end. And if we had spoke 3 months ago, it would not have been Trey McBride. When I broke down after the season ended and I started around, you know, the holidays in mid-December, I started to look at more tape, and you mentioned his inline blocker. When you are looking for a two-way tight end, there's no question Trey McBride stands above everyone else. I know he's a group of five product, but he wins the John Mackey Award. 6'4", 260, and Matt, he looks 6'4", 260. Isaiah Likely looks a little lighter. Let's see how much he weighs. Trey McBride, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes in at 265. He is all man. And teams, we know coaches and NFL coaching staffs are looking for the two-way tight end if they had all things equal. Look at that catch percentage, 67%. An idea of viewer to name the quarterback at Colorado State. I mean, he doesn't have Tua throwing the ball at Joe Burrow. Look at that team aerial dominator this year. Matt, every defense coordinator had to stop Trey McBride. He had 37% of their receiving yards, and he hits all my metrics except for yards per catch. He only had 12.5. I'm looking for 13 at the tight end position, so he's very close. He also had a lot of dump-offs, and we're looking at a player who has a long resume. Love Trey McBride. I agree with you. He's top 50. I would not be surprised if he goes off in the first round.
Fantastic. John, a player who's been around, kind of a staple in college football for a while, and that is Charlie Kohler of Iowa State. Kohler was an integral part of this Iowa State offense over the past several years. And John, I could tell you, playing with Brock Purdy that long, you get to see him pull in a lot of off-target passes. He's got sticky hands and a nice catch radius to go along with a large frame.
Absolutely. And he played basketball in high school. He's 6'6", 260. You see him, he does look like your basketball player. However, what I'm a little concerned about, and I've watched a lot of Charlie Kohler, one, because I've been studying Breece Hall and David Montgomery at Iowa State and Brock Purdy, watched a lot of the Cyclones over the last 4 years. He's a little bit of a compiler, if you know that term from baseball, like the player who hung around for 20 years and got 3,000 hits. You know, there's a little bit, you look at his career numbers, 168 catches, but then you say to yourself, oh, I think he's played for 5 years. So, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. And he came out and he took advantage of that next year to increase his draft stock. But some of the numbers look better than he actually may be. Because he's a shield blocker. He likes to put his body in front of the guys, but I don't think he's going to get down and dirty. You know, he's in two tight end formations. He's your pass-catching tight end. I don't think he's as athletic as Evan Engram. It's going to be very interesting to see his athleticism either A, at his pro day, or B, at the combine. I'm starting to think we're going to have more pro days than combines. It's going to be an interesting year. That's a different story for another day. But he's a very smart player. Look at that. He won the Campbell Trophy, which is the academic version of the Heisman Trophy. So he can come in and learn your playbook. And if he is 260, Matt, a team will take advantage of that size and draft him. I have a day three draft value on him right now. I think that's where he'll get picked.
Yeah, I have him projected early day three as well. But, John, another player who I think has the opportunity to go within the first 2 days of the draft, we're going back to the group of five here, and that's Nevada's Cole Turner, another sure-handed tight end here. Sneaky athletic ability for his size, very fluid in the way that he navigates around. And we talked about Carson Strong earlier. Well, they've been paired up and making Mac West defenses wild over the last couple of years because they couldn't stop either of these guys.
Absolutely. So the first thing you have to put into context, Matt, team aerial dominator is 15% for Cole Turner, which just hits my threshold. However, he played with Romeo Dubs, Elijah Cooks, and Mummy, the offense coordinator, throws the ball all over the place. He'll, you know, he's instructed Carson Strong to find the third and fourth option, sometimes a dump off. So in context, Cole Turner was competing for touches and targets in a very full locker room. So that's why I'm okay with his team aerial dominator. Now, I am a little disappointed. If you watch, he drops too many passes. He only had a 64% catch rate. He basically had an NFL quarterback throwing him the ball in Carson Strong. Now, if you watch Nevada this year, Cole Turner won them like two games. Like there were two games, I think one's against Hawaii specific, where they were down late in the fourth quarter, and basically Carson Strong and Cole Turner just started hooking up, Matt. He's like, Cole, you're my man. And like Turner just dominated the fourth quarter. 6'6", 240, a little light in the pants. I would like him to be, you know, 250, 255. He's a scrapper, but he's not your classic inline blocker. But when you're looking at body control, leaping ability, Cole Turner does get his hands on the football. He has good footwork around the boundary. I do like him. I think he could sneak into the second round. I think he'll go off in the third round.
All right, John, moving on to another late addition here to the Senior Bowl squad, and that is UCLA's Greg Dulcich. A great story for Dulcich coming out of UCLA, a walk-on there, and ends up earning all Pac-12 honors in 2021. He was on the first team. A fantastic story. I think Dulcich, if you watch his tape, he almost resembles an oversized wide receiver compared to a tight end. He's going to be more in that pass-catching athletic mold, but certainly, you know, there's some upside there for fantasy purposes and for an NFL team looking to utilize a two tight end sets situation.
Matt, 6'4", 250. He has a little bit more girth and more of a bigger frame. He can get down and dirty. I don't know if he's nasty. Like, if you watch Trey McBride, there's a little meanness in him. I don't necessarily, you know, Dulcich will get dirty, but he's a better blocker than some of the other competitors at the Senior Bowl here. You mentioned it. He does look like a wide receiver. Why is that? He transitioned from wide receiver to tight end, put some weight on. The coaching staff gave him a scholarship for it. I was surprised he came out, but I think he's a third-day pick off the board. Look at this, though. They're very interesting. 17.6 yards per catch. UCLA threw deep to him often. That's because of his wide receiver routes. He can run deep down the field. And the team aerial dominator is 27%. Let's see how his athletic ability, what the scores are. I like him a lot. I think he's going to impress people at the Senior Bowl.
All right, John. And we have a few more tight ends here to wrap things up, starting with Jeremy Rucker out of Ohio State. Rucker has been more of a blocker over the course of his collegiate career, but when called on, he's displayed some good handwork as well.
Hey, we know the Ohio State wide receivers. And then you had J.K. Dobbins and you have all these, you know, Trevion Henderson this year. Not a lot of touches are going to go to your tight ends on this Buckeyes passing game. And you're absolutely right, Matt. When he was called on, he did perform well. And I think the NFL is going to like Rucker more than the fantasy community. And I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't think he has an incredibly high ceiling unless he gets picked in the second round. Then the NFL tells us they really like him. I don't think he's going to get selected there. 6'5", 250. Obviously, they're biased to program players, right? Ohio State's a good program. They put a lot of tight ends in the NFL, but 11.6 yards per catch isn't overly exciting to me. He's got nice big hands, and he can tack the middle of the field. Let's see where he gets drafted.
All right, and then we have Grant Calcaterra, one of my favorite just pure players to watch on tape from this year's draft class. But he's got an interesting background as well. A former four-star player, starts off at Oklahoma, and he stands out early for the Sooners. Ends up medically retiring himself for sustaining multiple concussions. After being out for a little while, decides to get back in the game, transfers to Auburn, never plays at Auburn when Gus Malzahn leaves. Then he transfers to SMU, and he's a featured part of this offense with Tanner Mordecai this past season. The question, John, I don't think is in his talent. It's simply going to be, where does that draft capital come into play with the medical history?
Without question, Matt. And we're going to see what does the NFL, how do they weigh a concussion history of a young man? We already know the challenges of concussions at the NFL level. Now we're talking about a young man who, this is a great story, worked his way back, transferred, had a really nice season at SMU. I do think he's more of a pass catcher than a blocker, and anyone who's watched the Mustangs, they put the ball in the air, they throw it all over the gridiron. He's 6'5", 247, but the medicals are going to determine everything. I hope the young man gets a chance, but I also hope he stays healthy. What a great story. Enjoyed watching him play. We'll see what happens. I would not be surprised if he's an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, I have him late day three. Usually if you're going to the Senior Bowl, there's a good shot you get drafted, but a late day three projection up for me. Two more guys, John, to round it out, and we don't want to forget about them. The first one is Daniel Bellinger out of San Diego State. Yes, I was able to find San Diego State tape and get somewhat of a read here on Bellinger, but a 2020 and 2021 first team, or I should say a three-time Mountain West award winner here for Bellinger. You know, it's interesting, John, the stats, they won't jump out to you, but there is some examples of pass catching ability. I don't know that he's going to be a super fantasy relevant player, but you're never sure sometimes how a player is utilized at the college level versus the pro level. You know, San Diego State did give him some manufactured production for the tight end position. It was a really bizarre offense. I got to be honest with you.
It was. I agree with you. It's tough to find tape, and the Aztecs are not the easiest offense to watch on a regular basis, but he's a good blocker. They're going to like that. 6'6", 255. If you notice, at least I have in the NFL, most teams are having three active tight ends in game day. He's the type, if you're looking for your third tight end to be a run blocker with a little red zone upside for a sneaky touchdown, I think NFL teams will like him, but I think his fantasy upside is limited, Matt. Let's see. I don't think he's uber athletic when I see him play. You know, he's big, strong, sturdy. He's tough, but he's not like overly athletic.
All right, there you go, John. That is 15 players, 11 tight ends, nine tight ends and six quarterbacks here that we gave a preview for the 2022 Senior Bowl. Make sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video, follow along if you're listening to the audio version of this on either the Rookie Big Board podcast or the NFL Draft Bible podcast network. We will be coming back to you next week with more Senior Bowl preview. And then after that, John, it's our rookie profile series. As always, we appreciate you listening.